be found in the book of Joel. It might take you a while if you don't know where Joel's at. The book of Joel. J-O-E-L. Joel. Joel chapter 2. I do want to thank all the children. I've noticed, I've had actually adults, kids say this. They have noticed since we started keeping the kids out during service, how well behaved y'all been. So thank you so much. I've heard that. Y'all are doing a great job. So thank you very much for that. Restoration power. We'll talk about that. I know many of your lives today are broken in pieces. Things have happened in your life that have got you to a place you didn't plan to be on. Some of you are carrying a lot of pain and a lot of guilt and a lot of hurt and a lot of shame. And you're carrying those things because you're not where you know you're supposed to be with God. And the devil will come and always remind us of that all the time. You're not where you're supposed to be with God. But I want to talk about how God can restore your life today. You know, if we can take an old 1970 Chevelle that's gutted out sitting on blocks and turn it into a show car, you know, if you can take my bald head and make it full of wavy black hair again, you know, God can do anything. We can restore stuff. We have vintage stuff that we restore. But don't think God can restore us. I know many of you have had years that you wish you could get back. You've had years that the devil had. You had years of wasted living. You had years of poor decisions. You had years of wrong moves. And you think, I can't get that back. Well, you can't get those actual years back, no. But God can restore you today to where your future isn't your past anymore. Sometimes we never can get into the future God has because we can't never leave our past that we're in. And Joel talks about this, the book of Joel chapter 2. We're talking about restoration power, restoring us back to a former condition. And in Joel 2, what happened is there was a great locust plague that had eaten the crops of the land of Israel. It was God's judgment. And he sent a great locust plague to consume the land. But I'm thankful God doesn't leave us in that place. But he had a promise for his people. Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. This tells me that there is growth and budding on the way in your life. Your tree is dead today. You're blooming nothing. You're dead. Leaves are gone. Seeds gone. You're bearing no fruit whatsoever. You're barren. You're empty. You're void. But there's a season God's not forgot. There's a season. It's like we have spring that comes after winter in the natural. There's a spring coming in your life, to where God's going to blow up on your tree again, and you're going to begin to see the buds and the blooms and the flowers again come forth. You're not going to stay in that dead place because God is good, and God will not keep you there or leave you there, because God's a God of mercy, forgiveness, and redemption. And just because we're going through a bad season doesn't mean that's where we're going to always be. It's important to understand that. We go through bad seasons. We go through dark times. But the Bible says rejoice anyway, for the Lord is going to do great things. Be glad, verse 23, it says, be glad, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause you to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. He's talking about, I'm going to send rain on your crops to grow your fields again. God is going to send rain on your life to grow your fields again, because you're at a place of emptiness. You're at a place of no answers. You're at a place of no return. You're at a place of not having any idea what to do next. And you're waiting on the rain of God to give you a sign, to give you an answer, to give you some direction. Keep on waiting and have the umbrella ready. And just hold the umbrella. Even when it's 95 degrees and there's not a cloud in the sky, you walk around with that umbrella, holding it, knowing there's a day that God is going to speak and the clouds are going to burst and the rain is going to fall and your seed is going to grow, because God has not forsaken you and God has not abandoned you and God has not left you. God knows exactly where you're at and what you need right now today. I promise you. So by faith, you carry an umbrella. By faith, you do these things. We do things by faith, trusting God to do the rest. Faith is all about stepping out into something we can't understand. If you're waiting, well, God just showed me something. That ain't faith, church. If we're waiting on God, to come down and tell us exact detailed directions on a piece of paper what to do, that's not a walk of faith. A walk of faith is trusting what God's word says when we can't see it, when we can't feel it, when we can't pray no more, we can't press through no more, I can't feel your presence no more, but God, I'm still believing you, and I'm still confessing you, and I'm still trusting you, because I know that that anointing of God will flow again. The rain will fall again. I will be watered and filled and satisfied again. I'm not going to stay hungry, for blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Wait, church, you're going to be filled in due season. And he's giving a prophecy about this, just so exciting. Verse 24, the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. We know what fat is, right? We know what fat is. Do you know, used to, I kind of wish it was in the old days sometimes. Used to, a fat person represented wealth and prosperity. It was. Years ago, if a fat person represented wealth and prosperity. We got a lot of rich people today, don't we? That's all I'm saying. The floors are going to be full again. And look at verse 25. And here's the key verse for this chapter. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. The army that wiped out your harvest, I'm going to restore it. Just because it's missing in action now, don't mean it's going to be missing tomorrow. God can restore what has been taken away. I think about the story of Samson. Remember Samson? They captured him, poked his eyes out. He was blind. They were making a mockery of him. He was made for sport. Here's this great judge of Israel that had been absolutely humiliated and downgraded to just a pawn in the hand of his enemies. And he's turning the grindstone, and he's turning around. They're making fun. This is the great Samson, the one that killed all these Philistines, the great mighty warrior. Look at him now. And as he's turning that grindstone, he begins to pray, God, can you give me one more shot? Can I feel your power, God, one more time? And this little boy, probably about David's age or Peyton's age, I don't know, led this Samson. Hey, boy, can you lead me over to the pillars? Because I can get my hand on the building, on the temple. And he cried out, God, paraphrasing, God, remember me one more time. I want to feel your presence again. God, I want to know I'm still yours. I want to know I've not been forsaken. I know that I did this to myself. I know my decisions got me where I'm at. Because you told me not to drink strong drink. What I do? I party like 1999. I get it. You told me not to touch any dead thing. What do? I get honey out of a dead carcass of a bear and take back home. You told me not to have no strange women. That's all I had, God, was strange women. So I know I violated everything. I broke all the rules. And I gave up something precious. I sacrificed my anointing for some pleasure. And I find myself blind and humiliated and in a bad place. But God, if I'm still yours, God, if your power is still in me, God, if I'm still your child, can you somehow show up one more time? And as he prayed that, the Spirit of God came upon Samson and strengthened him again and restored that state of weakness, that state of sin, that state of failure, that state of all that junk. He restored Samson and he tore that temple down, and thousands of his enemies were killed in the very last act of his life. God saying, yes, you're mine. And I'm restoring you for your last breath in the state you were when I created you to be a strong judge of Israel. We see where Joseph was restored from the cell of prison. He was restored from the false accusations of rape. He was restored from all the things they said he did wrong. And here he finds himself in prison for 2.5 years. Two and a half years, he's innocent. And then one day God brings him out, and he goes from a convict with a felony. I think even rape was a felony back then, right? If they call it a felony. He had a felony act upon his life. And he goes from a felony accused convict from a prison dungeon to the prince of Egypt overnight. He's in prison one night sleeping, and the next day he's talking before the king. He's a convict one night. He's a ruler the next day. God restored the life of Joseph. We see where God does this in the lives. And I love the story of the Samaritan woman. And I wish more preachers preached the message of her. I think they're too scared because they want to keep everybody in a tight, I don't know. The Samaritan woman was a hoochie-coochie woman. She was what you call a Jezebel, a woman of the night. A woman of, as my mother says, ill repute. A woman who had no morals when it came to her lifestyle of men. A woman who would hop in bed from man to man based on what that man could provide for her. She was a Samaritan, which also was considered a lesser than people than the Jews. They were lesser than. They were considered the dogs. And the Bible talks about that. They were considered dogs. Here comes Jesus, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Messiah. He approaches this Samaritan woman, this woman of ill repute, this woman he shouldn't even been talking to. I mean, how many times do we do that now? We just, oh man, they're talking to them. What are you talking to them for? You don't know what we're talking about. You have no idea what our conversation even is right now. So leave me alone. He goes to the Samaritan woman. And even she says, Master, do you not know who I am? Remember Joey on Friends? Talking to me. Talking to me. I mean, that's the woman. Jesus, do you know who I am? I'm a hoochie cooch. You know? I'm a belly dancer. I'll take your money and take everything else from you. And walk away smiling. And you will too. I'm just saying, this is the kind of woman she was. And all of a sudden, Jesus goes to her and says, I'm going to offer you something. I want to offer you everlasting life. I want to offer you forgiveness. I'm going to restore to you years of you giving yourself away. And this day, you can have a brand new life. All your broken, shattered pieces of the pain that you have suffered all these years, giving your body away, trying to find satisfaction through this or through that, trying to fill your lives with the empty void with something other than me, and yet you're still empty, you're still broken, you're still bankrupt, you're still miserable. I'm going to offer you something beautiful. She took it, and her life was changed. God restored her. God can restore you today. Doesn't matter how many years you've wasted. Doesn't matter how many years. You can't ever reverse those years back. But God can give you good years ahead. And God can cause the pain to go away and the shame to be lifted off. He can give you a brand new vision of what is ahead instead of what's always behind. He'll give you the windshield version, not the rearview mirror version. That we're looking, God, here's what you got for me. As long, I've said before, if you drive on a highway and you keep staring your rearview mirror, you won't go too far. Because somebody goes slamming their brakes, you're going to run off the road, hit a curve, because you're looking in that little mirror instead of that big old windshield. The devil loves keeping us in that little rearview mirror. What if I hadn't done that? I'm so tired of failing. I'm so tired of falling short. I'm so tired of always having shame in my life. I'm so tired of never being able to meet the mark. God can restore that. He's given Israel a promise. I'm going to restore all the stuff I did. Look at verse 26. You shall eat plenty. You shall be satisfied. And you shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wonderfully with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. I'm going to restore you, and you're going to know that I'm God. You're going to know that it's by my hand this happened. We must give credit where credit's due. And that's why every blessing he pours out, we should turn back to praise. Because God, everything you do is from you. Every blessing I have is from you. I might be in pain today, but I'm not dead. I might be in pain, but I still walked in here. I might have been growling while I walked, but I walked. I may have pain in my back, but at least I'm not dying of cancer. I may have a terrible migraine right now, and this pastor's preaching really loud, and I wish he'd, you know what? At least you're not having a heart attack right now. If we really look at the things of our lives and the blessings that we have and turn that back to God, God, I am highly favored and blessed by your hand. God has promised Israel restoration, and they were restored, as we know. Look at John chapter 10. This is Jesus speaking, very familiar verse to us. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his mission. That is the devil's job in our lives, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal what? Steal our peace, steal our joy, steal our power, steal our faith. To kill, to completely make go away all the things God's tried to plant in us, he tries to take it out of us. He don't want you fighting. He doesn't want you standing. He doesn't want you having faith. He doesn't want you believing in him. So he sends all this stuff in your life. You know, I can't take one more thing. You know, you say things like, yeah, I can't take one more. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know why it's happened to me. Duh, duh. We say all that stuff. It's because the enemy is on full attack in your life. But the good news is you have a general who's on the wall of your life, whose hand is stretched out with the blood on the doorpost, saying that when this death angel and when this destroying angel passes your way, it cannot come into you. It has to keep on going because it sees the blood. The blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony, our faith in Christ is far more powerful than any weapon formed against us. That's why it can't prosper, because Christ is watching for us. And he has got a hedge about our lives, guarding us, protecting us, and keeping us from our own foolishness, from our own stupidity, from our own poor decisions, or from things we can't control. He stops that too. That's my child, and I will fight for him. I died for them to secure their salvation. He comes to steal, kill, destroy, but Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. How long, church, has it been since you've been happy? How long has it been since you woke up with a fresh spirit of thanksgiving and awareness of how good God is and counting all of your blessings? How long has it been that you can sleep through the night without tormenting dreams, without thoughts racing through your head, reminding you of all that you're not? How long has it been since you walked in a place of knowing, you know what, my future is good because I know God's here with me now, and I don't have to fear, I don't have to worry? Some of us have been a long time with pieces being broken. Some of us have been a long time trying to keep ourselves patched together as our journey goes on. We get hit here, so we just patch up. We get hit here, we patch that up. And we're walking around patched up, trying to hold it together, going through the motions, but have no real joy. We have no real peace. We have no real power. We have no real victory. We have victory in our head, but not victory in our heart. We have power in our head, but not power in our life. Because we've allowed the devil to kill, steal, and destroy what God has given us. We need to be as greedy with our faith as you are your money. You wouldn't so freely give your money away to everything. I felt really bad the other day. I was at the Home Depot traffic light there, and they got these guys with buckets. They're always out there, and I don't know what they're doing. There's guys with buckets doing something. I'm like, I don't know what they're taking up money for. So I went down on purpose the last time to find out what's going on. And they come to me and says, hey, sir, say, would you like to help get the homeless off the street? I said, no, thank you. Terrible. I said, no, thank you. Went on. Sounded terrible. I know that. And I forgot my whole point I was making with that. But anyway, that's what they're there for if you see them. So just know what that's there for. And so I don't know. I'm just thinking, you know, is that money really going to the homeless? Who knows where it's going? I mean, I don't know. They got buckets. I mean, if I dressed like this today and had a bucket out there, I'd probably get quite a bit of money. Taking that money for Jesus. Be Pablo's, here I come. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know. But it's been a long time since we've had victory. Because life happens. Man, when I was in my, you know, we have seasons. You know, I was a happy teenager. I really was. I was a happy teenager. We had good times. I had a good friend, Bill. I had a few girls I dated, but nothing serious. Had good parents. I was involved in church as a young man. I was teaching Sunday school at 16 years old. So I was a happy teenager. I really was. Then I met my beautiful wife, and things really got good. Got really happy. I saw what was there that wasn't there before. That's a Disney thing. Anyway, so I met my wife. Things were happy. Got married up in Wilkes County. Bill's at my wedding, Bill and Christy, and some of y'all, of course, my family. Got married on a Saturday afternoon. Got my red tinted wheel, mag wheel, three-point spinner Firebird, and took off to Florida. Went to Florida on honeymoon. Life was great. Had our first child, life great. Second child, life great. Third child, well, life great. Life great. We're raising our kids. I'm working retail, mainly as a stay-home mom most of those years. And things are good. And then things start changing some, right? Your kids start, well, they become teenagers, D. I hate to warn you, I hate to tell you. They become teenagers. That's a very challenging time. You start getting a little bit older yourself. Start losing a little bit of well, who you were. Things change. You're married 26 years, you know what I'm saying? And things start changing a little bit. Yes. Yeah, I come home and tell my wife I'm leaving my job. I know you don't work. And we have three small kids, but I'm leaving my job, a very good income, to start a church. And I know we're still in the fire department, no land, no building. But God said, do it, okay? Yeah. She actually told me, are you sure it's God's voice you heard? That's what she told me. I mean, who in the right mind would do that, church? If it wasn't God. I mean, who in the right mind would do that? It wasn't something I was just like, yeah, I'm going to do this to prove. Are you serious? I had bills to pay. We had a mortgage, three kids and a wife. I used to always tell her it's cheaper to keep her. I'm down 2 years that it won't be no more. Anyway, life's good. And then, yeah, we start the church. Our season changes. Our kids grow older. That changes. As you get older, you begin to have different things in your body, pains you didn't have. Things begin to change. Life just happens sometimes. And sometimes it's nobody's fault. It's just what life has come into your life and chipped away here and there. But I want you to know that God can restore that joy you had yesterday and that peace you had yesterday and that power you had yesterday and that sweet presence of God you felt yesterday. Because though we have gotten scarred and battered and we've picked up some bad rocks along our journey, God is still pure. He is still holy. He is still perfect. His anointing hasn't changed. His hands aren't soiled. He is not dirty. He's still in robes of white. He is still the way, the resurrection, and the life. He is still the Messiah. He is still the first and the last. He is still Alpha and Omega. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is still the same God. And though we have been soiled with life, we have been dirty with our decisions, He's still a holy, perfect, pure, righteous God. And He still can restore us to that place to where we see Him as that again and we feel Him as that again. Sometimes we just need a good hand washing of our lives. He goes on in verse 11 to say, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. How did he restore us? He gave his life for us. That's how he restored us. David knew there was something more to come. King David knew there was something more to come than this world. He knew there was a resurrection. There was a life beyond this. And none of those prophets could be ransomed, could be redeemed until the blood of Jesus was shed. And when that blood of Jesus was shed, guess what? It backdated. Would it, any great you get backdated on pay? They didn't pay for a few weeks or something happened. They backdate you, right? Or you overpay a bill and they backdate you and give you the refund. The blood of Jesus backdated all time. And it covered David, Isaiah, Job, covered all those prophets. And it covers all of us. His blood covers the past, the present, and the future. It's a continual flowing river of mercy and forgiveness. He restored us, church, by giving his life. We don't have to stay where we're at right now. We don't have to stay in the place we're at. Though there's pain in the offering, as the song says, though there's pain in our bodies, though there's pain in our lives, though we have things coming ahead of us that we have no answer for how it's going to work out, and we are afraid, and we are frustrated, and we are angry, all of that, God can restore and put you in a position, in a place of reconditioning as like you were before. Here's what I'm saying in layman's terms, and I'm not making a lie of this. This is really, I think, how God can do it. God can just wave a wand and restore you. He can wave a wand over your life and all the hurt and shame and pain and suffering you are bearing. He can break that chain. As you saw Jewel throw the chains off the stage. I'm glad it wasn't anything breakable. It's been glass all up in here shattered. Thanks for not touching the poinsettias. I appreciate that. Y'all been ducking. Throwing them chains off the stage. Here's what happened at Calvary. Every human being was chained. Where are they at? They have one, Bill. Just tell me one of them. Don't throw it like Jewel, though. Thank you. Here. I love saying that. Holy Spirit, that's awesome, man. All of us are born with this. All of us. I don't care how good we are. My mom talked about what a great baby I was, and I'm sure I was. I'm sure I was great. Because I'm great now, so I was great then. And I was this perfect little baby boy, blonde hair, brown eyes, didn't have a lot of hair. That kind of got restored. That kind of restored the wrong way. I went back to my original condition the wrong way. Anyway, one more, a lot of hair. I was a little baby boy. I was a good kid. I was a good little boy. I obeyed my parents. I really did. I can honestly say I didn't cause my parents any problems as far as any worries. They didn't worry where I was, didn't worry if I was getting high, getting drunk. They didn't worry about that. They had to worry about that. But we're born with this. No matter how good I was, and we heard this at Billy Graham Library prime time. Remember when he said that you don't have to teach a kid how to be bad? Remember y'all heard that? Y'all heard me say that many times in this church, right? They said at the Billy Graham Library, it was Franklin Graham or whoever was on the screen talking, said you don't teach your children to be bad. You don't. You don't teach Bryce to be bad. He's bad all by his bad self. You don't teach him. Now, when you get mad at mommy, Bryce, do this. Or when you get mad at mommy, go slam your door. Or when you get mad at mommy, just overbear me and just start humming when you're fussing at him. When I start fussing at you, just start singing. Ah, nah, 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 nah. You don't do that. It's automatic because Bryce, come here, Bryce. Come over here in the middle. Now, little Bryce looks so cute, don't he? So innocent. Look at them blue eyes and blonde hair. Let me put this on you. All right. He looks innocent, don't he? Are you innocent? Okay. So humble, too. Here's Bryce. He's born. How old are you now? 12. You're 12? Good gracious. Almost a teenager. Good Lord. He won't be innocent long, Linda. So anyway, he's 12 years old. He's got this chain on him. He was born that way. No matter what he does, if Bryce never drinks, never does any drugs, never sleeps around, never says an ugly word or a bad word, never talks back to you, he could go through all of life being the good little boy, making straight A's, you know, being nice to everybody, all that. That chain's still there. Because the chain on his life has nothing to do with what he does. The chain's there because of sin. But when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, here's what happened. The chain is gone. And now Bryce is truly innocent because the blood has made him clean. Thank you, sir. Be good to your mom, okay? That's how God restores us. It won't stay out there, Jewel. Okay. Stay. Restoration. Restoring back to the original state. Now, because of Jesus, I'm righteous in his eyes. Now, Christians won't make you, man, I'm telling you, some of the worst folks are religious folks. I'm telling you. There are some of you, I'm just telling you, I don't mean to say this, but there are many churches and many places that you would be looked upon by the way you're dressed in here today. Or by the tattoos on your skin or the piercings in your, wherever you got them. You would be looked upon. Automatically judged. If they were really saved, what? The way I look makes me saved? Of course not. What makes me saved is what Christ did at Calvary. And that's what restored me back to that state of where now I am reconciled back to God. And that's our last scripture we'll read, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Here's what's happening. We fail to ever grasp that revelation. Yeah, I'm saved. I went to the altar, got baptized, felt the Lord, felt the Spirit. But all we ever see is the old man still. Because somehow the devil tries to trick us into thinking if we're a new creation, that we won't be anything at all like we were. We still have things we have to fight. We still have times we fail. Just because I know a lot of good Holy Ghost-filled shouting spiritual Christians who will talk down to you and about you behind your back like a dog. Because to them, that's not anything maybe that's unholy. But it's just as unholy as anything else. It's spewing our mouth. We all have issues. Some of you may have the issue of being a little bit nosy. You got to raise your hand. I know who you are. I got to know everything. If I don't know it, it drives me crazy. So I ask 50 people to find out what I want to know. Now, you don't have a nosy pastor, so if y'all want to know any dirt on anybody, don't come to me. If you want to know, I saw Linda the other day at the ABC store. Is she okay? You know what I'm going to tell you? Well, I didn't see her. Go ask her. I'm not going to spread no gossip about the church people. I've never done that. Well, you know what? That nosiness, just because you get saved don't mean all of a sudden you quit being nosy, does it? I know a lot. Y'all know any Christians that are nosy? You know they love Jesus, but they're nosy. Of course. So I think what happens, the devil reminds us, oh, you're not in a new creation. You're still nosy. You know, or you still say a bad word every now and then. Or you still, you know, do this every now and then. We are still fighting the flesh. We have to understand that, and Paul talked about this. He said, I'm always warring against two things. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I can't do, I want to do, so to speak. Always a battle. And there really is that Tom and Jerry moment in all of our lives. Eat the mouse, Tom. Don't eat the mouse, Tom. You're a cat, Tom. You're a good cat, Tom. Oh, he gets on your nerves. He's really your friend. It's always those two voices, right? Who's Tom always listen to? The devil. Makes a better cartoon, right, Don? He always listens to the devil. And he goes and chases that mouse and torments it because he's listening to that voice. We are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, which means the state that we were is no more. I was unforgiven. I was unsanctified. I was dirty and unclean. I was unreconciled. I was uncircumcised. I was all of those things. But I'm not anymore because I'm now a new creation in Christ. Not in me, not in what I do, not in what I say, not in how I dress. Not any of that stuff matters. I'm a new creation in Christ. He was the perfect seed that was planted to produce the perfect harvest, which is us. One seed produced an eternal harvest of believers. One seed. And that one seed still birthing a harvest today. Seed's not died. It's still going on. Old things are passed away, become all things are now new. That's the vision we got to get. God, old things, I'm not who I was. I'm not what I used to be. Though I'm still fighting battles, I'm still a new creation in you. And that's what I'm going to focus on, the new creation I am in you, not what I was. Next verse, Brandon. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Reconciled means to restore back into a right relationship. If any of you have someone you're not talking to right now, it's a family friend, you're mad, there's a rift, and you are not talking. It's a broken relationship. Reconcile means it's not broken anymore. That now you have a relationship. Now it's restored. We now have a relationship with Christ that we didn't have before because sin stood in the way. Sin was a heavy garment that blocked us from the Holy of Holies. And when the veil was torn, In the Gospels, it talks about when Jesus gave the ghost that the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. I mean, this wasn't some little sheet or little blanket. This was a thick curtain that was ripped supernaturally. God ripping away that closure that kept us out of a relationship and now says, come, welcome home, be my child. Now we can have a restored relationship because the sin of Adam no longer stands in the way. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Glory to God. That's our hope. We are restored now spiritually. We must get our lives caught up to that to realize I don't have to keep walking, Gordon, defeated. I don't have to keep walking defeated. Why am I walking defeated when I've been redeemed? You know, why have I acted like I've lost the battle whenever we've won the war? Because Jesus has paid the price for man. We are now reconciled to Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In this last verse, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And look at this, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Once again, we're in a court of law, and I'll be the judge, just because I'm a pastor. I'm the judge. Gordon, would you please stand before me? Case number 6437 on the docket. Gordon Messer, you have been charged with just being a jerk. How do you plead?
Guilty, Your Honor.
All right. I won't point out any particular sin because some of y'all be like, ooh, that must be what his problem is. So I've learned that. So I got to be very random. Not that you Christian folks would think that. All right. So you are guilty of being a jerk. The sentence for being a jerk is a lifetime away from me, complete separation from my presence. And you are doomed to eternity without me. But here's the good news, Mr. Messer. Jesus Christ has carried out your sentence for you. And you are free to go. And you are now found innocent of all charges. You're free. That's what the blood did. Gordon deserved to be charged. Now you understand I'm not really a judge and I'm not really God. But that is the message. That's what he's saying. What you are supposed to be sentenced to, I'm not sentencing you. When we think about how much God loves us and that all of those sins, and here's the beauty that I really want to drive home, because I think a lot of us as Christians, we're good to the point of, yeah, Jesus forgave me up to now. He gave me up till I'm forgiven right now at 11:11. 11:11. That's Christian special time, whatever. 11:11. But will I be forgiven later today? Will I be given tomorrow? Because I'm going to fail later today. I'm going to fail tomorrow. I'm going to fail Tuesday. And this is where it gets really mucky, because we begin to mix works with grace. I am not going to have my trespasses imputed against me as a child of God. Because either I'm a child of God or I'm not. I can't be a child one day and not a child the next. I've been birthed into the family of God, and I have an eternal inheritance, the Bible says, that cannot be defiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved for me in heaven, 1 Peter. So I've got that. The Bible says in Hebrews that he went in once and for all to obtain eternal redemption for us. How do we get so far from the gospel of thinking that we got to get resaved every time we fail? My God, I say this, just pray to God the trumpet don't sound in one of the moments you're not acting right. I mean, really think about that. He went in one time for us, one sacrifice, one time forever to obtain eternal redemption. That's in Hebrews chapter 10. Read Hebrews chapter 10. This is not my words. This is the Bible. When we think about, man, I have been restored. I am forgiven. I am loved. I've got a future home. I've got a place. We talked about it last week. There's more than this. We talked about the resurrection. We talked about, you know, all that. If you weren't here last week, it's already on the website, because Doc texted me this morning and told me to listen to it. Really enjoyed it. He said it cut off at 43 minutes. I don't know why. So I went back and listened to it, and it went to 49 minutes. I don't know what happened. I said, we only missed 6 minutes, and you got the good stuff, so you're good. He said, okay, thanks. It was really good. But go back online if you weren't here. Listen to last week's message. There is more than this. It goes along with this message today, because there is more than this. There's so much more than this. And we've already been restored. He reconciled himself, not imputing our trespasses, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have his promise, church, that we have been reconciled and redeemed back unto Christ. Marjorie, come up here if you would, play a little something. I wonder, before we close this service, you need to be restored today. You just need to be restored. You're a shell of what you want to be and what you used to be. And you're like, you know what? I want to be restored back to that place where I was happy in God, where I was walking in peace with God, to where life made sense, things were put together, I'm shattered and I'm lost and I'm confused and I don't like where I'm at right now. God, I need your hand to restore me. I want you to come up here and stand with me and take a step of faith this morning, and let's pray together this altar. If you need to be restored this morning, you want your life put back together, walk up here and let's stand, let's pray together. Whatever you're battling right now, God can remove that thing in your life, those things in your life that's keeping you from the beauty that you're supposed to walk in, because there is beauty in you through Christ. Father, draw hearts this morning. I pray that you speak to hearts to make a step of faith, to say, I'm tired of the shattered pieces, tired of the shattered life, and I need restoration. God, I need my joy, I need my peace, I need my power, I need my strength, I need my hope restored. I need to feel your presence in such a mighty way. God, I need you to take me back to a time to where you overshadowed me to such a point all I could do was think of you, praise you, worship you. You were all that mattered in my life. Nothing else mattered but you, Lord. Speak to hearts, God. Draw people today that we can have a moment of restoration in this place in the name of Jesus. Anybody else want to come this morning? We're going to move quickly this morning and pray this morning. Because if God is speaking, he's speaking now. If he's speaking, I know he's speaking now. Father, for the people at this altar right now that are standing in your presence, they need restoration. God, they need your strength. They need your power. They need the broken pieces put back together. God, overshadow them with a fresh vision and a new strength they haven't had in a long time. Give them hope. Give them power. Give them rest. Give them assurance that their season is on the way. That you are pulling them out of the depth of their darkness. You're pulling them out of the pit of their pain. And you are setting them on a solid rock. That even though the rains come and the winds blow, that they can stand in the midst of that, declaring your glory and feeling your presence, knowing, God, that their future is in your hands and that answers are coming, deliverance is coming, healing is coming, power is coming, strength is coming. In the name of Jesus, Lord, restore the lives at this altar and bring about a freshness and a newness that they haven't had in a long time. Let the chains of grief and pain and shame and doubt fall at this altar now. And let them walk away liberated and free by your presence. In Jesus' name, we declare this. Amen. 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 Jesus. Feel, Lord, feel the name of Jesus and restore that which is broken in Jesus' name.
Place where I first received you.
Restore, feel the name of Jesus' lives, Lord, not by accident. They are ordained to serve you and walk with you and be part of what your plan is. And I bind the enemy to my hand and distract and disrupt. In the name of Jesus, let your presence and power
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
our life is at, God, you can resurrect it. You can renew it. You can refresh it. God, thank you for that presence we have felt. Thank you for the hope in your word we have, that we are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and today I am a new creation. I'm going to walk like one, talk like one, look like one, believe like one in the name of Jesus. I am the redeemed. I am a child of the Most High God. I am an ambassador for Christ. I can do all things through Him which strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. In the name of Jesus, we declare this victory for the saints in this place. We'll give you praise for it. Amen.